إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله أما بعد. Okay, طيب. We were discussing the five conditions of Sahih Hadith. We divided Hadith into four categories, remember? What was the first category? Acceptable, exactly. Okay, I didn't hear that. Acceptable. What second one was? Daif. Third one? Daif jiddan. Fourth one? Mawdu'. So we said acceptable is divided into two categories, Sahih and Hasan, right? And we talked Sahih has five categories. So the first one was? Complete isnad, okay? And there goes this pen. Complete isnad. Second one was? Adil. Third one was? Dabt. Okay? Dabt means? Good memory. Okay, fourth one. Fourth one is that it cannot be, write down the Arabic because you have to know the Arabic here. Shad. Okay? That's Sheen Alif Tha. Shad. It cannot be Shad. Okay? Shad with a Zal. Zal. Not a Za, a Zal. We're getting there. Calm down. It cannot be Shad. Okay? Now, what does a Shad, guys, come on, we talked about this. What does a Shad Hadith mean? A Shad Hadith is a hadith that contradicts something that is stronger than it. Okay? Write that down. A Shad Hadith is a hadith that contradicts something that is stronger than it. Okay? So a hadith cannot be Shad in the sense that it cannot contradict a stronger hadith or a verse in the Quran or something. It cannot contradict or go against something that is stronger than it. Okay? And the last condition, which I'm going to write over here, the fifth condition, SubhanAllah. This one is gone too. What's going on? We'll write it in red. Let's hope this one is working. The fifth condition is this one. No, this cannot be working. The board is not working. It's the board. Uh-oh. It's a washable marker. Yeah, this is not going to work. Can someone also get some spray or something from the janitor to get the stuff, okay? Okay, just write it down here. I don't have to write it here. Oh, mashallah. Sisters are prepared, man.
They're hiding it from us.
Okay, the fifth condition was... The fifth condition is that the hadith cannot be... Well, first of all, this doesn't go in here. Okay. The fifth condition is it cannot... be, not be, let's say have. It cannot have, and again an Arabic word, illa. Ooh, that's really bad. Huh? You don't have anything else? Okay. It cannot have an illa. Ain, lam, ta, marbuta. Okay? It cannot have an illa. What is an illa? An illa means a hidden defect. A hidden defect. Okay? An illa means a hidden defect. It means that the first four conditions, they might be met. There's a continuous chain. All the people in the chain are trustworthy. All of them have good memories, okay? And it doesn't contradict anything stronger than that. But there is a hidden defect which you need a muhaddith to spot, okay? A hidden defect means apparently it looks like it's a fine isnad. It's a good isnad. But a muhaddith will come and tell you, no, there's a hidden defect here which is not apparent to the eye. Okay, and the hidden defects are many categories which we probably won't have time to get into, but just write that down for now. You'll know what a hidden defect is when you read on. Just know the Arabic word. It cannot have an illa or a hidden defect. Let me give you an example of an illa so you understand what's going on. Suppose humans make mistakes, or everyone makes mistakes, okay? Suppose there was a narration from Ibn Mas'ud, a companion, okay? So 10 people narrated it from Ibn Mas'ud and they stopped that Ibn Mas'ud said. One person that narrated it, he forgot that it was from Ibn Mas'ud, and he said Ibn Mas'ud said that the Prophet ﷺ said. Okay? So it was a statement of the companion, and yet one of the narrators, right, down the chain, maybe the third or fourth guy down the chain, he made a mistake, he forgot, and instead of saying Ibn Mas'ud said, and then say the hadith, he said Ibn Mas'ud said that the Prophet ﷺ said. So he made it into a hadith. Okay? Now if you were to look at the isnad would be continuous. Okay? All the people would be adil, all the people have dhabt, it would not contradict anything stronger than that, but there would be a hidden defect. And that is that so many people narrated it. How do they narrate it? As a statement of Ibn Mas'ud, whereas others narrated it as a statement of, what'd you bring? Statement of the Prophet ﷺ. So the one of the narrators, basically he makes a mistake. So it's a hidden defect. It's not apparent. You don't see this immediately. Okay? That's an example of a hidden defect. Do you see that? Do you understand that?
Yes.
What a hidden defect is, right? Is that it's not something that's apparent. It's not something that you can just see. You need to go to a scholar of hadith. And the most difficult thing, by the way, in hadith is a hidden defect. In that, this is where the most important or the most difficult condition is. Okay? If I were to, you know, teach you guys a year or less than a year, I could easily get you to understand the four categories for perfectly well. You would be qualified to, you know, see if the isnad is, you know, continuous or not. Does it have, you know, all adil and all babt, you know. But one important thing that no one can become qualified to do unless he really increases his level of knowledge is an illah. This is why only the famous ulama of hadith, not even all the muhaddithun, only the top of the muhaddithin, they knew what an illah was. Imam al-Bukhari, Imam Muslim, okay, Ali al-Madini, some famous names I mentioned. Even not only all muhaddithun, okay, not only all muhaddithun, but only the top of the muhaddithin, they would become experts in the science of illah. Okay, now these are the five conditions for a hadith to be authentic. Everyone must understand these five conditions. If there are any questions, then let us do take them now, because if you don't understand these five conditions, you're not going to get anywhere beyond this. Okay, you understand so far what these five conditions are? Okay. Okay, we said that acceptable hadith are divided into two categories, sahih and hasan. What then is a hasan hadith? A hasan hadith fulfills all of the five criteria. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. It fulfills all of these five criteria, except that in condition 3, instead of having a narrator who, what was condition number 3? Dabt, right? He was highly precise, he was highly accurate. We have, let's say, an average person, okay? Of average accuracy. Average. Not a precise or 100% accurate or a very high quality level of people. Rather, you have an average person, an average narrator of hadith. He wasn't weak, he didn't make many mistakes, but he was less than the level of the ones before him. Please clarify what is a hidden defect. By the very nature of it, a hidden defect is not something that you can go and categorize, okay? The scholars have given various examples of a hidden defect. And one of the examples that I gave you is that, suppose Ibn Mas'ud made a statement. For example, we took today the narration of Ibn Mas'ud, that one of the greatest sins is to do shirk with Allah, and to give up of the mercy of Allah, and to despair of Allah's hope, and to feel secure of Allah's punishment or planning, okay? So this was a statement of Ibn Mas'ud. Suppose that Ibn Mas'ud narrated it to 5 people and they narrated it to 15 and so on. One of these 15 people, he made a mistake. And instead of remembering it as a hadith of Ibn Mas'ud, he took it as a hadith of the Prophet ﷺ. Okay? So he said, my sheikh told me that his sheikh told him that Ibn Mas'ud said that the Prophet ﷺ said. So he made a mistake, right? You understand so far? He made a mistake. But that person in general was acceptable. He wasn't da'if. He wasn't weak. He was acceptable. Everyone makes mistakes. So he made a mistake in this particular hadith. Okay? Now if we were to look at these five categories, the first one, continuous, yes, it would fulfill. Second one, all the narrators are trustworthy, yes, it would fulfill. Third one, all the narrators have good memory, yes, it would fulfill. Fourth one, it doesn't contradict any stronger than that, no it doesn't. So it would fulfill. The fifth one, hidden defect, this is where a scholar of hadith would combine all of the narrations and realize that so and so, he made a mistake. Instead of stopping at Ibn Mas'ud, he took it as a hadith of the Prophet ﷺ. Okay? So this is, by the very nature of this term, a hidden defect, you can't systemize it or categorize it. Okay? It's something that the scholars of hadith, they know. That so and so he made a mistake, but when they combine all of the chains, or they know that a certain person had a certain mistake with him, then they would know that this is a hidden defect. So, inshallah, we might get a chance to talk about it in more detail. But a Hassan hadith, we said, fulfills all of the five criterion exactly as a Sahih hadith, except for one criterion. That is number three, where instead of being above average, instead of being of the top quality, a person is of average memory. Okay? We're going to discuss the terms. We're going to discuss that at the end, inshallah. Okay? So a person, when he's of average quality, he's not below average in the sense that his memory is not that bad. It's just, you know, his memory is okay. Okay? Whereas the Sahih hadith, his memory must be excellent. Very good. Okay? Very good. And we're going to discuss these terms, inshallah, so you get an idea of what we're talking about. But the point is, when his memory was of average quality, then the hadith is considered hasan. Okay? Now, suppose you have two or three hasan hadith. All of them, they fulfill this criterion. Don't you think that would add strength to the hadith? Right? So what we say then, is that when we have two or more hasan hadith, when we have two or more hasan hadith, then the hadith is raised to the level of sahih. Not by its own nature, but we call it in Arabic, لِغَيْرِهِ. Okay? Sahih لِغَيْرِهِ means it is sahih due to supporting evidence. Sahih due to other evidence. Okay? And the first category of hadith that we did was, now we're going to put another term after that sahih so that we understand what's going on. Sahih لِذَاتِهِ. Sahih because of its own self. Sahih because of its own category. So do you understand the difference between sahih لِذَاتِهِ and sahih لِغَيْرِهِ? We'll go over it again. A sahih لِذَاتِهِ hadith are the ones that fulfill the criterion 1 to 5 that we talked about right now. Okay? Sahih لِذَاتِهِ. What does لِذَاتِهِ mean? It means of its own nature. It can stand on its own two feet as a sahih hadith. Okay? Sahih لِغَيْرِهِ. It means that due to supporting evidence, due to external evidence, in and of itself, it cannot be sahih. But when you take, so these are like, two or more hasan hadith. Two or more hasan hadith. You understand this? When you have two or more hasan hadith, then the hadith becomes sahih لِغَيْرِهِ. What do we mean by two or more hasan hadith? We mean that the same matan with two different hasan isnads. What is a matan? Amir. The actual speech at the end. Two different isnads means? Two different chains of narrators. So each chain of narrators is hasan. The first chain is hasan, the second chain is hasan. Taken together, the hadith will become? What will it become? Sahih لِغَيْرِهِ. Okay? So, just like sahih is divided into two, likewise hasan is divided into two also. Okay? So we talked about what is hasan. Let's say hasan. Same thing, hasan لِذَاتِهِ and hasan لِغَيْرِهِ. Same thing, لِذَاتِهِ and لِغَيْرِهِ. Okay? Hasan لِذَاتِهِ is fulfills criteria 1 to 5 of hasan, not of sahih. Remember, we just did that right now. Okay? حَسَن لِذَاتِهِ. So what do you think حَسَن لِغَيْرِهِ will be? Who can guess? Usman. Think now, think. We said that صحيح لِذَاتِهِ means it's صحيح due to its own merit. It can stand on its own two feet as being صحيح. Whereas صحيح لِغَيْرِهِ means you need two or three حَسَنس to bring it up to the level of صحيح لِذَاتِهِ. So what do you think حَسَن لِذَاتِهِ is? Is that it can stand on its own two feet as being hasan. How about hasan لِغَيْرِهِ? Two or more what types of hadith? No. Two or more hasan hadith becomes what? Sahih لِغَيْرِهِ. So what is hasan لِغَيْرِهِ? Weaker than that. What's weaker than that? You jumped all the way there, Abdurrahman. Huh? Da'if. Exactly. So two or more da'if hadith. We're going to that. Okay, Hassan, yeah. And Sahih لِذَاتِهِ لِغَيْرِهِ. We're going to understand that. So basically, when you have two or more da'if hadith, it's raised to? Let's go back then. That's the problem with the small board. If I had a big board, we can show it much better. Okay? We'll go back to it. Authentic or classification of hadith, right? Classification of hadith. We said there's four categories. One, two, three, four, right? This one is mawdu. This one is da'if jiddan. Da'if jiddan, okay? This one is da'if. And this one is, we said it in English, acceptable. Okay? Acceptable is divided furthermore into two categories, right? So we have sahih. Sahih is divided into two categories also. لِذَاتِهِ and لِغَيْرِهِ. Hasan is also divided into two categories. What are they? Same thing. لِذَاتِهِ and لِغَيْرِهِ. Okay, do you understand this so far? Take a nice look at it. Where the big classification, the big scheme of things is hadith are divided into four categories. Okay? موضوع, fabricated. ضعيف جدا, very weak. ضعيف, weak. We said that in English, acceptable, and Arabic has a term for it which you don't need to learn. There's no benefit to this. Acceptable is divided into two categories. Sahih and Hasan. Okay? We said that we defined the definitions 1 through 5 of لذاته, right? 1 through 5 conditions for لذاته. Everyone remembers them?
Yeah.
You understand so far? We defined the 5 conditions of sahih. The first one was, what are the 5 conditions for any hadith to be sahih? Complete isnad, right? Unbroken chain. Then adl. Then babt. Then someone else. Third one. Shad. Fourth one. Illa. So we defined the 5 conditions for lidatihi. We then went to hasan lidatihi, and we defined also 5 conditions for hasan lidatihi. What are the 5 conditions of hasan lidatihi? How do they differ from these 5? Irtada.
Same
except that the babt can be a bit less. How less? Average, not below average. Okay? So if a person is of average memory according to the scholars of hadith, right? Average memory, then his hadith will be hasan lidatihi. Now I said, suppose we have 2 or more hadith hasan lidatihi. Where would they be classified then? Sahih lighayrihi. So we have, you confused? Slow down. Okay. You understand so far sahih lidatihi and Hasan lidatihi. These are the 5 conditions that we mentioned. They stand on their own merit. You don't have to look at anybody or anything else. Okay? Now, suppose you have more than one hasan lidatihi hadith. Okay? So you have one matin, the same matin, right? The same matin. The same matin, but 2 different isnads for it, okay? This is a different chart. I wish we had a bigger board here. 2 different isnads. Isnad 1 and isnad 2. Okay? Both of these isnads are hasan isnads. They're not sahih. Both of these chains are hasan. Hasan lidatihi. Okay? Now, this hadith, this matin then, can be classified as sahih lighayrihi. Okay? That sahih due to supporting evidence. What does lighayrihi mean? It means due to supporting evidence. Okay? So, on its own merit, the hadith is hasan. But when you take into account the other hadith, each of these two is hasan. This is hasan, this is hasan. When you take into account both of them together, then you get sahih li ghayrihi. Okay, Imran, you understand so far? Okay, now we said, suppose you have one or more da'if hadith. Two or greater than two da'if hadith. Okay? A hadith could be da'if. And we're going to discuss da'if hadith for the next hour or two. A hadith could be da'if. But if you have more than one of them, if you have 2, 3, 4, 5, then they come together and they become hasan li ghayrihi. Okay? Is that clear? All the brothers, sisters, is that clear? Okay, what? لِغَيْرِهِ, there's a ra. لِغَيْرِهِ, yes. Okay? Sisters, is that clear? If I don't hear enough, I'm assuming everyone understands. Okay, so that, the point is that we have to understand an acceptable hadith is divided into 2 categories, hasan and sahih. Okay? Now, if for a hadith to be hasan in and of itself, hasan lidhati, hasan on its own merits, it has to meet these 5 criteria. If you have more than one of these hadith, then you'll jump to this category. Sahih li ghayrihi. If, however, the hadith, the first hadith that you were discussing, met the 5 criteria of sahih, in other words, the people had excellent memories, okay, then the hadith will be classified as sahih li dhatihi. So if you have 10 hasan li dhatihi hadith, where would you classify them? 10 of them, all of them hasan li dhatihi. Where would they go? Sahih li ghayrihi. You can never ever move up sahih li ghayrihi to sahih li dhatihi. Okay? There's no hierarchy except from li dhatihi to this to li ghayrihi. Likewise, da'if. If you had a million da'if hadith, right? Where would they go? Hasan li ghayrihi. They would never become sahih li ghayrihi. Okay? They would never become sahih li ghayrihi. They only go up to hasan li ghayrihi. Okay, everyone understand this point. This is a key point. The most important point of this actually is da'if hadith. Why is this? A hadith might be da'if, right? But then you go and you find another isnad, or you find another chain of the hadith, that too is da'if. You put both of them together and they will become hasan li ghayrihi. So therefore they will become acceptable. Why is this? Because I guess now is a good point to talk about this. This is because when it comes to acceptability of hadith, all that comes after this point is not acceptable to act upon or to believe in or anything. Not acceptable. Okay? So whatever comes after acceptability, which is da'if, da'if, jitan, and mawdu', we cannot base any fiqh or any aqidah on it. We cannot act on it. Okay? This is by the vast majority of the ulama of the salaf and the khalaf, they said we cannot base any fiqh or any aqidah on da'if and da'if jitan hadith. And everyone says mawdu'. Okay? The vast majority of the scholars of the past and the present, they said that you cannot base, and this is also the opinion of the four imams, you cannot base any fiqh or any aqidah on da'if or da'if jiddan hadith. As for mawdu', then no one has any different opinion. Fabricated. Everyone knows the Prophet didn't say it. Okay? So the only hadith that you can use must be hasan li dhatihi, hasan li ghayrihi, or sahih li dhatihi, sahih li ghayrihi. Everyone clear on this point so far? Okay? Okay. Now we move on to weak hadith. I'm deleting this, erasing it. We move on to weak hadith. Okay. Now we mentioned five. We mentioned five. Okay. We mentioned five characteristics for a hadith to be sahih or hasan, and we said that. Number three, which is dhabt, if it goes a bit less, then it becomes from sahih to hasan. So now imagine, another way to rephrase this is, whenever one of these conditions is not met, then the hadith will automatically be either any of these conditions is not met. It'll either be da'if, or da'if jiddan, or mawdu'. So now we have to go into each one of these conditions, each one of these things. Each one of these things, the first one was what? What was the first condition? Continuous complete chain of narrators. Okay, so now suppose the chain is broken, then obviously it is going to be da'if. Now here we talk about the various types of broken chains. Okay, if we had a book of hadith, it's alright, we can just make up an isnad. Okay, we have over here Bukhari. Okay, above him is let's say Abdullah Ibn Maslama. Above him, you don't have to write these names, I'm just giving a generic chain. Above him is Malik. And above him is Nafi'. Oops, we ran out of space. Above Nafi' is Ibn Umar. And above Ibn Umar is the Prophet. You don't have to write the chain, I'm just visualizing something for you so you understand what's going on. Okay? Because the broken chains can have different places to them. Okay, suppose that by number one I mean types of broken chains. The title of this, types of broken chains. Okay, the first case scenario is that the companion is missing. So from this chain, who would we remove? Who is? Ibn Umar. So we're going to basically, for this case, this guy is deleted. He doesn't exist. So it's as if Nafi' reports from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Okay? Nafi', is he a companion? No. Did he ever meet the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam? No. So there obviously then is a missing chain, there's a gap in this chain. This type of hadith, when the companion is missing, is called Mursal. Mursal. Okay, in English, Mursal. Mursal hadith. Okay, this type of hadith is called Mursal. We're not talking about the types of da'if hadith. This is a da'if hadith. Is it da'if jiddan? No, it's da'if. Da'if. So suppose you have two Mursal hadith. What's going to happen then? Hasan li ghayrihi. So then, can you act on it?
Yes.
If you have only one Mursal hadith, no. Okay? So you cannot act on a Mursal hadith. Why? Because this guy never met the Prophet. He's a tabi'i. He never met the Prophet ﷺ, so there is a gap or a break in the chain. So then, a mursal hadith, by the way, is the strongest type of da'if hadith. Because even da'if hadith, they have different categories. Okay, the mursal hadith is the strongest type of da'if hadith. Can anyone tell me why? Because only the sahabi is missing. The whole chain is correct, except to the sahabi. The sahaba, are any of the sahaba weak? No. All of the sahaba are adl and dabt. Make another footnote here. All of the sahaba, without any exception, are adl and dabt. What does adl and dabt mean? They are trustworthy and they have good memories. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has said so in the Quran, that this is a generation, Allah is pleased with them and they are pleased with Him. So the sahaba could never lie about the Prophet ﷺ, and they could never make a mistake when it came to transmitting hadith. Okay? In the sense that their memory was always excellent. So, when the sahabi is missing, then this hadith is called mursal hadith. Okay? So this is the strongest type of da'if hadith. If you find the mursal hadith, it's still da'if, but it is the strongest category of da'if. Okay? Tayyib, let's go on now. That's one type of da'if hadith, yeah. Second, we have there's at least 40-50 types of da'if hadith. We're only going to cover 10-15 of them. There's 40-50 types. We don't have time to get into all of that. You know, it took me 3 years to study. I can't teach you in 2 hours this, you know. This is a huge science, you know. Tayyib, this is mursal. Okay, when the sahaba is missing. Okay? Now suppose you have people missing from beneath, from the end of the chain. So you have Bukhari. Obviously Bukhari can never be missing because he's the one narrating the book. But Bukhari is a generic, I'm being generic for all the book's authors. Bukhari, Muslim, Abu Dawud, Tirmidhi, Nisa'i. They can never be missing or else you wouldn't have the hadith. Right? You understand that? If they were missing, where would the hadith be recorded? It has to be recorded in some book, right? Okay. You go to the book, you find out that Bukhari says that Nafi' said that, Ibn Umar said that, the Prophet ﷺ said. So there's a gap now between Bukhari and some source higher than him. Okay? So, when you have the sheikh of the author and more than him, not necessarily, and more than him missing, this is called mu'allaq. A mu'allaq hadith. Mu'allaq in English. Okay, so suppose, okay, everyone write this down first. When the sheikh of the author and the sheikh of the author, and by and I mean the sheikh of the author, not necessarily more, but the sheikh has to be missing. If there's more, then it's also called mu'allaq. Let me give you an example. Suppose this is now Bukhari, right? Okay, suppose Bukhari says that Malik said that Nafir said that Umar said. There's a gap, right? Bukhari never met Imam Malik. Imam Bukhari never met or studied under Imam Malik. He studied under the students of Imam Malik. This hadith then is qualified as mu'allaq. Suppose Bukhari says that Nafir said that Ibn Umar said that the Prophet said. Still mu'allaq. Suppose Bukhari says that Ibn Umar said that the Prophet said. Still mu'allaq. So you have one or more than one people from above the chain missing. But they have to be continuous. Okay? They have to be continuous. So if Bukhari says that Malik said that Ibn Umar said, this is not mu'allaq right now, because there's not a continuous gap. The gap has to be from Bukhari, either one or two or three or all four. Bukhari can say that the Prophet ﷺ said, this is mu'allaq hadith. He didn't quote you the beginning of the isnad, and it can go all the way up. Okay? Is that clear what a mu'allaq hadith is? Is that the missing link is from the bottom. It's from the bottom. And it could be more than one. It could be one, it could be two, it could be three, it could be more than one. It could be all the way back to the Prophet. It will still be called a mu'allaq hadith. Okay, this is the second type of da'if hadith. Okay, I'm top one off, okay? Tayyib. The third type of da'if hadith is Ibn Maslama. Just doesn't matter what, just like, you know. The third type of break in the chain is when two people are two people. What's the best way to translate this in? Two consecutive people. Let me put consecutive. Consecutive people are missing. Okay, So for example, Bukhari says that Abdullah ibn Muslimah, ibn Maslama said that Ibn Umar said. How many people are missing?
Two.
There's two people that are broken in the chain. Okay? So you understand this. Oh, for example, Bukhari says that Abdullah ibn Muslimah said that Malik said that the Prophet said. Okay? The Shaykh has to be missing. Yes, the Shaykh has to be missing. For a mu'allaq hadith, the Shaykh has to be missing. And more than the Shaykh. Okay? And we're going to get to other categories now, but I will tell you. For now, the Shaykh has to be missing of the author. The primary Shaykh of the author has to be missing or more than him. Okay? If he's not missing, it's not mu'allaq. It's another type of da'if. Okay? Naam. No, now we just, that was the strongest. After that, we just leave it. And that's nothing. Okay, so two consecutive people are missing. So he said that if Bukhari says that Abdullah ibn Maslama said that Ibn Umar said, that the Prophet said, two people are missing. Okay? You understand this? Two people are missing. Consecutive. They have to be consecutive. They can't be in different parts of the chain. They have to be one on top of the other. Then in this case, the hadith is called Mu'dal. Mu'dal hadith. Okay? Now, suppose, can someone give me an example of a mu'alliq mu'dal hadith? Mu'alliq mu'dal hadith. Together, simultaneously. Usman. Very good. So if Bukhari says that Nafi' said that Ibn Umar said that the Prophet says, this hadith is mu'allaq mu'dal. Mu'allaq mu'dal. Why? Because two people are missing. And why is it mu'allaq? Because the Shaykh of Bukhari is missing. You understand this? Right? It's mu'allaq hadith. And at the same time, it's mu'dal because it has two people missing. So anywhere two people are consecutively missing, you can label that hadith as mu'dal. Okay? And it can also be at the same time mu'allaq. That doesn't matter. Okay? Tayyib. Everyone understand number three? Okay. Number four is any other break in the chain is called munqati. So those were, that's a qaf by the way, believe it or not. Mim, noon, qaf, ta'ain. Munqati. Okay? Any other break in the chain, you just call it munqati. It's a general, generic thing. Any break in the chain. So for example, suppose Bukhari says that Abdullah ibn Maslama said that Nafi' said that Ibn Umar said. So is this Mursal? Which Malik, if Imam Malik is missing, is this Mursal? Is this Mu'dal? Is this Mu'allaq? No, he's quoting Abdullah ibn Maslama. It's not Mu'allaq. What does Mu'allaq mean? The Shaykh has to be missing, at least the Shaykh, and more than the Shaykh, it doesn't matter. So it's one person is missing, you just call it Munqati. So if the first three things don't apply, but there's still a missing link anywhere in the chain, you just say Munqati. Munqati literally means it's broken. It's torn. Anywhere. Munqati can be anywhere in the chain. Okay? If the Shaykh is missing, then you would call it Mu'allaq. If the Sahabi is missing, you would call it Mursal. Okay? And if two people are missing anywhere simultaneously, not Mawdu'. Mawdu' means fabricated. Mu'dal, yeah. And if there is a break anywhere else, you would call it munqati. Now this is the specific term. What does munqati mean, I said? Munqati means it's broken. So the specific meaning of munqati is that it's not mu'dal, it's not mursal, and it's not mu'allaq, okay? However, also realize that many scholars, they use munqati to refer to any break in the chain. Munqati. They use it to refer to any break in the chain. Just put a footnote there. Some authors, some scholars of hadith, they say any break, they'll just call it munqati. Doesn't matter if it's here, or here, or here, or here, or all of it together. They'll just say the chain is munqati. So munqati is also can be used in a general sense. There's a specific sense, what I just told you, that anywhere else, if it doesn't qualify as 1, 2, 3. Okay? But the linguistic meaning of munqati means that it's broken. So they'll go back to the linguistic meaning, and they'll say if there's a break anywhere in the chain, that this hadith is munqati. Okay, that's, you can use that as a footnote. Okay, okay. There's one last category of a broken chain. One last category, and that is mudallas. Yep, that's it. Mudallas. Number five. Okay, sorry. Mudallas. Okay. Now, what is a mudallas hadith? This is going to take a little bit of explaining. So far, is everything clear to everyone? Mudallas? Mudallas. Okay? Mudallas hadith. Okay. Now, sometimes an alim, now what is the general way that you narrate a hadith? You would say, Bukhari would say that Abdullah ibn Maslama recited to me or narrated to me or I heard from him that he told me that he heard Imam Malik say that, he heard Imam Nafi' say that, he heard Ibn Umar say that, the Prophet ﷺ said. Okay? Some of the time, however, authors would say, Malik said, without saying, I heard Imam Malik say, or Imam Malik narrated to me, or I was present when he was reciting. He would just say, Malik said. Okay? And in Arabic you call that an. Ugh, that's bad. Okay? An, from. So he would say, an Malik, from Malik. Well, how did you get it from Malik? When a person says, from, okay, let me give you an example, practical example, okay? I say that, quote someone in Houston. Sheikh Waleed. I say, Sheikh Waleed said, you know, an Sheikh Waleed, that Sheikh Waleed said, you know, whatever, this is halal or this is haram. Okay? Now, do you know how I got it from Sheikh Waleed?
No.
Okay, now in this case, certain types of people, they were well known for narrating hadith, even though they themselves hadn't heard it from that person. Okay? So they committed an act that basically they would narrate hadith, like for example, suppose I never met Sheikh Waleed, yet we lived at similar times. He was in, let's say, you know, Dallas and I was in Houston, I never met him. Okay? I narrated to you, Sheikh Waleed told me that this, Sheikh Waleed said that this is halal or this is haram, or that, you know, he narrated from the Prophet. So you don't know how I got it from him, from Sheikh Waleed. Certain types of people, they were known for using this type of phrase when they never met the guy. It's not a lie. It's not a lie. Okay? Suppose, Abdurrahman, you were the one that told me that Sheikh Waleed said this. Okay? Now it's my turn to narrate to these guys. I just ignore you. I say Sheikh Waleed said. Okay? I skipped some guy in the chain. But the point is, these people were well known for doing this. And it's not a lie in the sense that he told me that Sheikh Waleed said. I'm just not telling you who told me. Okay? So this is a more hidden type of missing link. Do you understand that? Okay? We don't want to go into a lot of detail, but just understand the concept. Is that what some scholars, not every time you find an doesn't mean it's mudallas. No. Every time you find an from a certain person. Let me put it that way. A certain person, and there are books written about them, who are those authors or who are those narrators of hadith that used to narrate in this fashion. And the scholars of hadith did not like this at all. They hated it. Okay? Someone so far as to say that I'd rather commit zina than to commit tadlis. Even though there's an extreme, obviously, you know. But they hated it so much, this thing, to narrate without mentioning who told you. Okay? Tadlis, okay? But the hadith where tadlis is performed is called mudallas. I just want you to understand the concept at basic level. Basically, someone heard a hadith from someone else, but he didn't mention the middleman. Okay? So, like I said, the example I gave, or let's say, you know, President Clinton, let's say. I'm an example, okay? No, I'm saying, for example, that I never met him. I heard from someone else that he said that. But now, when I grow up, inshallah, and President Clinton will die, inshallah, I mean, you know, whenever. Now, you never know, did I meet him or not? Okay? So I say, when I was young, I heard so-and-so, like President Clinton, say this and that. But you don't know, did I meet him, or did I take it through another person or another source? Okay? So if I took it through another source, I took it to Abdurrahman, but I don't narrate to you that Abdurrahman told me that he said that, then this is a type of mudallas hadith. And the point is, you just understand, and now the scholars of hadith have their ways and their methodology of figuring out what is mudallas and not. Okay? There have been books written just on mudallas people. Just on the people that did this. Specific books. And giving instances and examples of that type of thing. So there are five types of da'if hadith when it comes to missing chains, missing links. Is that clear? Okay? Five types of hadith when it comes to the first condition, which was what? Continuous chain, right? When the chain is not continuous, it can be classified as one of these five things. Okay? Is that clear? Everyone is... the sisters are understand everything? These five classes that we mentioned? Categories? Okay. Now we move on to the next category. What was the next category? The next condition. Do you understand how we're approaching da'if hadith? We're going through each condition one by one and we're saying what happens if that condition is not met. Ah, now you understand. Clicks into place now? Okay. The first condition was what for a sahih hadith, Abdurrahman? The first condition was what? Okay, so we discussed five things that don't have continuous chains. Okay? Alright, so if you're doing that, just fill it up, inshallah. Okay, the first is, the second thing is what?
Adil.
Okay. Now, Adil. Someone define Adil for me. No. We gave a definition. Write this down. Or what is the definition? Yes. Okay, an adil person is a Muslim who is sane and of age. Baligh. Can you close the door? Yes, Zakallah. As a Muslim of age who is baligh, who is sane of age, and he avoids the major sins and avoids also continuing the minor sins. Okay? So if a person is drinking alcohol, is he going to be adil?
No.
No. We cannot accept hadith from a person who commits major sins. Okay? A person is an innovator. Okay, we have to now have a differentiation. If he's a major innovator, then no. If he's like small innovations doing it once in a while, and he's, you know, doesn't know that their innovations are excused. But like suppose a Rafidi, a Shi'i, okay, a major one who used to curse the Sahaba. And there were a lot at that time, the Rafidi, the Shi'a. Okay, Jazakallah. Suppose a person was a Shi'i or a Rafidi. Could you accept hadith from him?
No.
No. So then this category would not be... Suppose a person was a liar.
No.
Obviously no. So adil would not be met, okay? Now, if the adil is not met, then depending on how severe his lack of adil is, that's where you're going to classify the hadith, okay? If he was a liar in the sunnah, meaning he used to fabricate hadith, what is this hadith going to be classified as? Mawdu'. So if a person lied once in his life that the Prophet ﷺ said this and he didn't say it, okay, then all of his hadith will be classified as mawdu'. No, not da'if. Who said da'if? You did? Huh? Not da'if. Not da'if. They're going to be classified as
fabricated.
Fabricated. Okay? They're going to be classified as fabricated. Now, what if you have 1,000 isnads that are off mawdu'? Are they going to go up to hasan li ghayrihi? No, you can have 1,000,000 mawdu' hadith. They're never going to add weight to each other. Okay, this is a very important point. Write this down. No matter how many mawdu' or da'if jiddas also you have. Da'if jiddan also, we're going to come to that. Doesn't matter if you have 1,000,000 of them. They're never going to be raised to the level of hasan li ghayrihi. Okay? Because they are so weak, it's as if they don't exist. They are so weak, it's as if they don't exist. Okay, so if he was a liar in the sunnah, the hadith will be classified as mawdu', fabricated. Suppose he was a liar in worldly affairs, but not in the sunnah. In other words, he used to lie, you know, concerning his friends, concerning what he did, but he never lied about the Prophet ﷺ. Okay, where do you think his hadith is going to be classified? Da'if jiddan, very good. Da'if jiddan, okay? Worldly affairs, okay? He never lied about the Prophet ﷺ, but he used to lie in his worldly affairs. So we can't trust him. We can't trust him. Maybe he did lie. So therefore, we're going to put him in da'if jiddan. That even if you have 1,000 istads that are all da'if jiddan, they're never going to become hasan li ghayrihi. So if a person lied in worldly affairs, the hadith will be considered da'if jiddan. Likewise, if the person was a major innovator, what do you mean by innovator? Of the deviated sex. Okay? He used to curse the Sahaba, or he used to claim that Allah's names and attributes are not real, like these are some of the groups that used to exist at that time. Also, it will be classified as da'if jiddan. Okay? No, not mawdu'. Very weak. No such thing as mawdu' jiddan. Mawdu' is mawdu', fabricated. Mawdu' means you know for a fact that it is fabricated. You can't get weaker than that. You cannot get weaker than that. Okay? Okay, so we can delete this chain. I don't think we need it anymore. Okay? So if his adala, if the person's adal is impugned, then the hadith will never be da'if. It's always going to be da'if jiddan or mawdu'. If a person is not trustworthy, then his hadith are going to be really weak. It will never raise to the level of hasan li ghayrihi. So if you have, let's say, 10 da'if jiddan hadith, okay, and one da'if hadith, the same matan, what is going to happen? 10 ضعيف جدا and 1 ضعيف حديث. Okay, what is going to be the result? You have 10 ضعيف جدا حديث. Huh? You can't move up. You just can't move up. You understand this? It's going to remain ضعيف جدا. You're not going to be able to move up because these ضعيف جدا as if they don't exist. Realize ضعيف جدا and موضوع, their existence and their non-existence is the same. Doesn't matter if you have a million ضعيف جدا hadith. They'll never raise. Because you can't even trust this guy. You can't even trust this guy in anything. So hadith will be classified as ضعيف جدا, or I mean at worst as موضوع. If he used to lie in the sunnah, it's موضوع. If he used to lie in the worldly affairs, he was a major innovator. Likewise, same thing, he was a sinner. Instead of having another chart, I'll say or sinner. Sinner meaning he used to like drink alcohol or you know party or whatever, you know. Party pooper. Not a party pooper. But basically committing major sins. Okay? This guy, you can't even trust him for anything. So his hadith are all going to be ضعيف جدا. Okay? عدل, عدل. Adil. We did Adil, the second condition of hadith. Huh? The whole section is daif hadith today. Well, I mean, there is no title. Basically, we're going through the five conditions of sahih hadith one by one, and we're saying what if it's not authentic, or what if those conditions are not met, what is going to happen? Okay. So my point is, a person who is not adil, right? Will his hadith ever be daif? No. They're either going to be ضعيف جدا or موضوع. A person whose trustworthiness has been attacked, okay, his عدل has been attacked, he's going to be of the lowest level of hadith. ضعيف جدا or موضوع. And you can learn other things so that you get the point. When he doesn't have this concept of عدل, he's either going to be a موضوع hadith or a ضعيف جدا hadith. Okay? Everyone finished with this?
Sure.
Okay. Now we move on to the what condition? Well, before I move on to Dab, by the way, there's one point I forgot. There is one case, though. Oh, this is going to fall pretty soon. There is one case where the Adil, right, is not known, but it is going to be Daif, though. And that is when the guy himself is unknown. Okay? What do I mean the guy was unknown?
The guy in the chain,
there's no biography about him. Okay? There's no biography about him. Okay? So in this case, when the guy was unknown, right, we don't know whether he was a liar or whether he was a pious person. Okay? Then we say then that unknown, well, let's do this quickly. I mean, because it's important. This is a bit important. It's of two types. Unknown is of two types. Some types of unknown people. So suppose, let's say Ibn Majah, okay? He said, I narrated from my sheikh, Muhammad ibn, Amr or something. Just mention a name. Muhammad ibn Amr. We go to the books of hadith and we find Muhammad ibn Amr unknown. We don't know who he is. When he lived, when he died, no one met the guy. Okay? Now, these types of unknown people, some of them, they only had one student. In other words, we only know of the existence of this guy through one person. You understand that? Only one person in all of Islamic history ever mentioned his name. And some of them, they had two or more students. They might have had 10 students, or 5 students, or 3 students. In general, unknown people have very few students, obviously. Because if you had a lot of students, obviously, your biography would be recorded. But let's say 2, this is the point. You either have 1, or 2 or more. You understand the theoretical differentiation so far? Okay? Haris Beg, for example. Okay? Case in point. Suppose Israel and Aries from Haris Beg. Okay? He goes, my sheikh, Haris, told me... My Sheikh Haris told me that so and so. Now, we look around in the books of hadith and we find no one mentions Haris Beg. So he's going to be only one student. However, we go to another book and we find that Imran also said, Haris told me that. Another hadith, doesn't matter. But we know that two people narrated from him. So now he's going to be two more students. Why am I making this differentiation? Because when there's only one student that narrates from the unknown, the hadith will be ضعيف جدا. Whereas if there's two or more, then it'll be ضعيف. Very good. This is why I make this differentiation. Why do the scholars say this? They say that, well, when only one person narrates from Haris Beg and the whole world, he might not even exist. The guy might have made a mistake. Okay? I mean, you might not actually exist, you see? Because there's a possibility that since only one student, that only one student narrated from you, there's a possibility that this person might not even exist. Okay? Therefore, it's da'if jiddan. But when two or more narrate, then we know for a fact that this guy existed, he lived, people narrated from him, therefore classify it as da'if. So in this case, even if the adil is unknown, it'll be da'if. But if we know, this is not an attack on his adil, by the way. We said when you attack a person's adil, the hadith is going to be mawdu or da'if jiddan. Only when his adil is unknown, you just don't know the guy. Okay? In this case, then, it's going to be either da'if or da'if jiddan, depending on what type of unknown thing there is. Okay? By the way, for your information, you might want to write this down. Unknown in Arabic, the hadith you say, it has a majhul person in it. Majhul. So one of the types of thing, da'if, is you say there is a majhul person. You have to say, you can't say it's a majhul hadith. You have to say there's a majhul person in the hadith. Majhul. Okay? Majhul means unknown. What does jahil mean? Jahiliyyah, jahil. Unknown. Ignorant. Majhul means he was ignorant. In the sense, he was unknown. Not the man was ignorant, but people didn't know who this person was. So this is like a person. You're not going to say the hadith is majhul. Don't write this down, that the hadith is majhul. You have to say that there was a person who is majhul in this chain. Okay? That's the category of this life, that the person is majhul in the chain. Okay? Tayyib. Now we move on to the third category, or the third condition. What is the third condition? Dabt, right? Okay, we're going to discuss dabt in greater detail in the next section also. But basically, we say that no, you know what? Let's leave dhabt for the next section, because that's it's a whole topic in and of itself. Depending on the level of the person's dhabt, well, like, what time is the break going to be? 3:30. Okay, you know what we'll do then? We'll move up the second section to now. We'll move it up to now. And then we'll go on to 4 and 5. Okay? Or, no, actually. Where are you going? Okay. Now, you know what? Let's move on. Let's do, basically, the point is, let's go quickly. Dhabt, basically, you have a number of levels or categories of dhabt. Okay? If you're of the highest category, your hadith will be what? Sahih. This is the highest category of dhabt. Okay? If you're of average quality, it'll be what? Hasan. Okay? If you're below average, it'll be da'if. If you're pathetic, it'll be da'if jiddan. Can it be mawdu? Why not? Why can't it be mawdu? Think, guys, think. Why can't it be mawdu? No. How can it be adil if he's mawdu? Exactly. You didn't say anything, Usman. You should have said something. How can a person be adil if he's fabricating hadith? You understand this? The last condition was that he has to be adil. Before we get to this condition, if he fabricated hadith, automatically, he's going to get kicked out anyway. Okay? Because his adil or his trustworthiness was not. So a person can never be fabricated because of his dhabt. It goes back to his adala, his adil. Okay? So depending on the level of dhabt you have, it's going to be sahih or hasan or da'if jiddan. And we're going to talk about this in greater detail in the next section after the break. Okay? So just understand that it's very simple. I mean, the better your memory, the higher your hadith is going to be. I mean, it's common sense, you know? The better your memory, the higher your hadith is going to be. If your average memory is still acceptable, if you're below average, it's da'if. If you're really, really bad, okay, then it's going to be da'if jiddan. Okay? That was the third category. We're going to discuss this in greater detail, inshallah, after the break. We move on to the fourth category, which is what? The fourth category of the shad thing, right? So, a hadith that... this is the name of the da'if hadith, by the way, shad. Okay? The name of the hadith, of this da'if hadith is shad. That this hadith is shad hadith. Okay? It's the name of the hadith. What is the meaning of shad? A shad hadith is a hadith that contradicts something that is more stronger than it. Okay? A shad hadith is a hadith that contradicts something that is more stronger than it. We're still on the da'if section, yes. We're not going anywhere right now. It's quite a lot of stuff. A shad hadith, okay? So basically, when you look at the outer isnad, it looks like what? It looks authentic, right? All of the conditions are met, but when you look at the actual hadith, you find that it contradicts something that is stronger than it. Let me give an example of a shad hadith, or some scholars say shad, and I think also that it is shad hadith. That wouldn't be an example of a shad hadith. The point is, when you have an isnad that meets the first three criteria, but you have a stronger hadith. What do you mean by stronger? How can a hadith be stronger? More chain. What else? What? More dhab. The guy has more dhab to it. Okay. More adil. Well, no, adil is not more. You're either adil or you're not. Okay. So you have more chains or more dhab. It goes against that, then this hadith will be considered shad. Okay. Shad is a hadith that contradicts something that is stronger than it. Okay. And the fifth hadith is a hidden defect. This hadith is called mu'allal. Mu'allal. What do I mean by number five? I mean that the fifth condition was that there has to be no hidden defect. If you find a hidden defect, then you call that hadith mu'allal. And that hadith is then also da'if. Okay? Shad is also da'if and mu'allal is also da'if. Okay? Let me give an example now. Let me find the example here. So for example, there is a hadith in which Aisha narrated that the Prophet ﷺ said that, Aisha narrated that after praying two rak'ahs of Fajr, the two sunnahs of Fajr, what would the Prophet do? Who knows? Lie on his right hand side. Okay? So everyone knows this hadith. After praying the two sunnah of Fajr, the Prophet ﷺ would lie down on his right hand side. This hadith is reported by many chains in Bukhari, Muslim, so many. One of the narrators of the hadith, I can't find his name and there's really no point in saying it. One of the narrators of the hadith, okay, he messed up. And instead of saying that Aisha said that the Prophet ﷺ would lie down on his right hand side, he said Aisha said that the Prophet ﷺ said, when you pray two rak'ahs of Fajr, then lie down on your right hand side. What did he do? He made, instead of narrating the action of the Prophet ﷺ, he made it into a hadith, a statement. Okay? So Aisha is just narrating that the Prophet ﷺ used to do this. One of the narrators, okay, he is acceptable in general, but even acceptable narrators make mistakes sometimes. This is where Shaz and Mu'allal comes in. Okay? He is acceptable, but he made a mistake. He changed the action into a hadith. Instead of saying that Aisha said that the Prophet ﷺ would lie down on his right hand side, she said Aisha said that the Prophet ﷺ said, when you pray two rak'ahs of Fajr, lie down on your right hand side. Okay, you understand the mistake that he made? Okay, so then how do we know this hadith is shadh? We go to all of the other chains which are more than it, and the people have better memories than him, and we find out that, how did they narrate it? That Aisha just said it as an action. So a shadh hadith, a side point is, you need other hadith, obviously. You need other hadith that are stronger than it. Stronger than it. Okay, so a hadith is only shadh when you have other hadith that go against it. When you don't have other hadith that go against it, it's not shadh. Okay, only when a hadith contradicts or goes against another hadith that is more authentic than it, then you consider this hadith to be shadh. And mu'allal is a very long topic, and we said only the ulama of hadith came across this. But by the way, the example I quoted you is a type of hidden defect. You know the example I just quoted you, right? Where the narrator transformed it to a hadith of Prophet ﷺ. It's a type of hidden defect. Who can tell me why? Because apparently from the outside, it looks like an authentic hadith. Okay, it's continuous, unbroken chain. All of the narrators are adil. All of them have the bare minimum required for dhabt. And this is the point now. No shudud. Well, now you have to go and find out. And you find out that there is some shadh. So this is a hidden defect. And if you like, you can say shad is one type of hidden defect. But because of its importance, it was placed, in a separate category. Okay? But a hidden defect, basically, the scholar will tell you that, no, this hadith. And by the way, hidden defects mean that, in general, you have to combine all of the other hadith of the same topic. Okay? Only when you combine all the hadith, and this is a job that a muhaddith has to do. Okay? He combines all the hadith, he examines the chains, and then he realizes, oh, this guy made a mistake. So by comparing all the hadith, that's where you find out that the person made the mistake. Yeah, but I said shad is a type of illah, but it's because of its importance, it was categorized differently. Okay, are you guys willing to give me 5 more minutes to finish up one more topic? No? Because if your brains are getting dead right now, then it's best to take a break. Huh? So already dead? Huh? Okay. Where's the thing? Okay. Guys, let's get back. Okay. Forget about all this now. We're moving to another topic. But it's be sure I want to do it before the break. Okay? Guys, listen up. Listen up. It's very important now. Totally different topic. We've started hadith. Now you guys go home and under da'if, draw all of this stuff that I did. Remember I told you to make a different chart? Okay? Under this hadith, draw this nice chain out, okay? And that will count as 10 points on your mustalah exam. Dead silence. No, I mean it.
Let you draw it during the exam.
No. Hand it to me before the exam. Do it at home. All of these chains that I mentioned, all of this has to be drawn out, okay? Hassan, Sahih, the two categories, Da'if, and then all of the Da'if hadith that we did, okay? You won't get zero if you hand this in with the correct thing. That's 10 points out of 100 for the Mustalah exam. Okay? One line definition of each thing. One line definition of each thing that we covered. Okay? Of each thing of Hassan, Ghayri, Hassan, Lidatihi, Da'if, all of the different types of Da'if. One line definition. That's it. Quick. Shouldn't take you more than 10-15 minutes. Okay, it's too much. Okay. Now quickly, another topic. Guys, brothers. Okay, what the narrator did with the hadith of Aisha? What did Aisha say? Aisha said that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when he prayed two rak'ahs of Fajr, he would lie down on his right hand side. So she is describing an action of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Is that clear? Now, one of the narrators, he changed it into a hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He said that Aisha said that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, when one of you prays two rak'ahs, then let him lie down on his right hand side. So he made a small mistake and he got confused, and instead of narrating the action of the Prophet ﷺ, he changed it into a hadith of the Prophet ﷺ, a verbal hadith. Okay? Okay, it was a hadith, right? But he made a mistake in it. Tayyib, totally different topic now. We're going to talk about three types of... We're going to talk about three types of things where the hadith ends. Okay, different section. You can title it... I'm working on a title. Basically, the classification of the hadith dependent on its final authority. Okay? Long title, but it's only three. Quickly, we can do it in 5 minutes. The classification of a hadith depending on its final authority. Okay? If a hadith goes back, you can come here, you know? You can see it. Goes back to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Okay? It goes back to the authority of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. In other words, the hadith is meant to be a statement of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We say this hadith is marfu'. Have we come across this word before? Kitab al-Tawheed is full of this word in a marfu' hadith. In a marfu' hadith, what does it mean? A marfu' hadith, raised. Linguistically it means raised, but it means it goes back to the Prophet ﷺ. Does it say anything about it being sahih or da'if or fabricated? No. Nothing. This is a separate categorization. A hadith could be da'if and yet marfu'. The point is the final authority is the Prophet ﷺ. It's supposed to go back to the Prophet ﷺ. It could have weak chains, it could have broken chains, it could have no chains. But it's a marfu' hadith in that the final authority is meant to be the Prophet ﷺ. So you can have a sahih marfu' hadith, a da'if marfu' hadith, a da'if jiddan marfu' hadith. That doesn't matter. Okay? Maudu, we don't call it a hadith often because we know it's fabricated. Maudu, we know it's fabricated. So how can we even call it a hadith? Okay? So marfu' means it goes back to the Prophet ﷺ. Number two, see, I told you it'd be very fast. Goes back to, who do you think? Companion, exactly. Very good. Very good, mashallah. You studied mustalah before. Huh? Obviously, because you said the right answer. This is called mawquf. Huh? Yeah, but for example, the statement of Ibn Mas'ud. Statement of Ibn Mas'ud, what would you call it? You wouldn't call it a marfu', you would call it mawquf. Okay? Mawquf. Let me write it in English here. Mawquf. Now, many times, for example, you'll read that five of the tabi'een, they narrated it in mawquf form, and one of them narrated it in marfu' form. What are they trying to say? They're trying to say that five of them, they stopped at the Sahaba, Mawquf. One of them, he raised it to the status of the Prophet ﷺ, Marfu'. Mawquf means it stops at the Sahaba, doesn't mention the Prophet ﷺ. The statements of Abu Bakr, Umar, Uthman, Ali, you know, all of the Sahaba, they are Mawquf. All of the statements of the Sahaba, they are called Mawquf. Okay? Now what do you think number three is going to be? The Tabi'un, very good. And anyone after them, anyone of the Salaf, okay? The Tabi'un, and then they became last and said, anyone of the Salaf, okay? Successors, that's how they translate into English. The companions and the successors. This is called, who knows this? Maqbool. Huh? Makruh? You're mixing fiqh. Stopped at the Tabi'i, or any of the Salaf, any Salaf, it doesn't really matter. They get last for this. Any of the scholars of the Salaf, okay? They say, no, what is Mashhur? You're getting confused. They say it is Maqtu'. No, Munkar is not. Maqtu'. Maqtu'. Okay, guys, come on, let's get serious again. Maqtu'. Okay? It goes back to the successor, meaning the student of the companion. So any of the statements of, let's say, Ikrimah ibn Ammar, Ikrimah, or Mujahid, or Alqama, these students of the Sahaba, we say that this is maqtu'. Okay? Now, it's not proper to really call it a hadith. It's not proper to call it a hadith, so we call it athar. Athar. Okay? So, athar are used for mawquf and maqtu', and hadith is used for mawdu', marfu'. Okay? Let me delete this. You done with this? Two and three we call athar, and number one we call a hadith. Okay? So athar, many times you hear the athar of the Salaf. They mean maqtu' and mawquf narrations. And you say in a hadith, you mean marfu' narrations. Okay? This is what it should be, marfu'. Hadith is always marfu'. Athar, you either have it maqtu' or you have it mawquf.
Can you give an example of
all the statements of the Sahaba are mawquf? Sometimes they do, sometimes they don't.
They just make up their own statements?
No, they base it on their own ilm, their own knowledge. Their own knowledge. And they have the best knowledge. Marfu'. Okay, so that was very simple, right? Okay, right before we end, one last thing. What is a Sahabi? Who can define a companion for me? Raise your hands.
Someone who in his lifetime met the Prophet, saw him.
So Abu Jahl is a Sahabi?
And was
Muslim. Oh,
oh,
oh. And believed he was a Prophet.
He was a companion?
Yes, God.
Exactly. That's the key point too. Yeah, that's it. There's a number of conditions. Firstly, who is a Sahabi? Firstly, a person who saw the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he literally had to see him. What if he lived at his time? He's not a Sahabi. There were many people that lived at the Prophet's time, but they never had the honor of seeing him. So, they are called Mukhadrams, by the way. You can put that in a footnote. Mukhadram. Mukhadram means they lived at the Prophet's time, but they never saw him. That's an interesting point. Good question. What are they called? They're called Mukhadrams. And Mukhadrams, are they Tabi'un?
No.
Could be. Very good. Could be. They could be Tabi'un. Yeah. If they study with the Sahaba, they could be Tabi'un. Okay. Mukhadram means that generation that was living at the time of the Prophet ﷺ but didn't see him. So at the time of the Prophet ﷺ, all the Muslims are either Sahabis or Mukhadrams. Okay. Sahabi and Mukhadram. Okay, a Muslim. Is that a Sahabi? So we said a Sahabi must be one who saw the Prophet ﷺ. Number two, while he believed in that he was the Prophet. So when he saw the Prophet ﷺ, he must have believed that that is the Messenger of Allah. Okay? Thirdly, in the Prophet's lifetime, because those that see the Prophet in their dreams, even are they seeing the Prophet? Hold on.
Yes.
They're seeing the Prophet, but are they Sahaba?
No.
So they saw the Prophet ﷺ, right? While they believed that he was a prophet, while the prophet was alive, number three, and number four, they died upon iman. They died upon iman. Okay, so now, there is a famous messenger that the Roman sent to the Prophet ﷺ. Okay, he carried a message, obviously, to the Prophet ﷺ. Okay, he met the Prophet ﷺ, shook hands with him, gave him the message, and he went back to Rome and accepted Islam. Is he a Sahabi?
Yes. Yes.
Why? He wasn't a Muslim, so he's not a Sahabi. I don't remember his name offhand, but he's not a Sahabi. He didn't believe while he was seeing the Prophet. He accepted Islam after he saw the Prophet. Okay, there's also a companion, and really, and you have to feel sorry for this, you know, not a companion, you have to feel sorry for him. He set out to meet the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The very day that he entered Medina, the Prophet died. So he saw the Prophet's body and prayed janazah over him. Is he a Sahabi?
No.
Why? He wasn't alive. He saw the Prophet's body physically. He saw the body, he prayed the janazah. But he is not a Sahabi. Okay? The people of Medina, all of the people of Medina, we don't know exactly. Okay? So this shows you then that these four conditions must be met for any person to be called a Sahaba. Okay? What if a person how do we know that a person is a Sahaba? Another brief thing. Are you guys getting tired? We should take a break then? Huh? Finish this last point up. How do we know a person is a Sahaba? By these four points. And also you should add a condition that also he died within 100 years of the Prophet's death. Because the Prophet said in one hadith that there will not remain a single person alive after 100 years from this night. In one hadith he said that. Do you see this night of yours? And they said, you know, obviously yes. They said, he said, by him in whose hands is my soul, not a single person will be alive 100 years from this night. Okay? So the last Sahaba, when did he die? The last Sahaba, he died 110. Because the Prophet said this hadith in 10 Hijrah. The last person to die that saw the Prophet, he died in 110. So any person that came, and there was a famous person by the name of Ratan al-Hindi. Where was he from?
India.
He claimed that he was a Sahabi. But when did he claim this? 200-300 years after the Prophet's death. I said leave it to the Indians, but anyway. I am one, that's why I can say this. He claimed he was a Sahabi. How did the scholar say he's a liar? Because of this hadith. Okay? He was an old man and he said, I saw the Prophet, I'm a companion. He said this 200-300 years after the Prophet passed away. This guy is a liar. Okay? And there are other people that also claim to be the Prophet's companion, but the last one died 110. Okay, obviously, who is a Tabi'i? Who is a Tabi'i? A person that studied under the Sahaba and it was a Muslim. Tayyib, we take a 10-minute break, inshallah, because we have to... Huh? Okay, a 15-minute break, inshallah. Huh? Quickly. Sisters, questions right now. Brothers, questions now. The third condition for what? Being a Sahabi. What was that? What did I give? So he saw the Prophet. Secondly, while he believed in him. Thirdly, while the Prophet was alive. Okay? And fourthly, died upon Iman. So many of the people, the munafiqun, they saw the Prophet ﷺ, they believed in him, but they died upon kufr. Many of the munafiqun, they saw the Prophet ﷺ, right? They saw him while he was alive. They saw him while they were believers. But then they rejected Islam. And that's why Abu Bakr fought the wars of the apostasy, the year after the Prophet ﷺ died. All those people are not considered Sahaba. If they died on kufr, they're not considered Sahaba. Okay? Any question from the sisters? What were the people that lived during the Prophet's time but did not see the Prophet called? Mukhabram.